Okay, good morning. We'll continue with the subject that we had started with the Divrei Kabbalah. Last week we gave a nice long introduction to Divrei Kabbalah. Now we started going into the details and continue. So we had...
What's going on?
We had the Pasuk from Chazal and Tashu Raglachot, and Tashu Shabbos Raglachot, and the Tzorechef Sechov and Abedabar. The various things that we shouldn't be doing on Shabbos, and we spoke about how a person walks in Shabbos and where a person walks in Shabbos. So last week we mentioned that even the way one walks on Shabbos should be different from the way you walk during the week. During the week we're in a hurry, during the week we run, during the week we're always going somewhere to do things. Shabbos we should calm down, relax. Of course, we say that Lishay Mitzvah, you're allowed to run. And even Shalai Yitzhak Steer Gaso is one of the Lishonis, it's not to take a big step, not take smaller steps in Shabbos. And then we also said that sometimes if you have to go somewhere, that also can be an issue about, if you have to go somewhere, it's also an issue about where can you go on Shabbos. So we said that walking somewhere depends on three conditions. That if you're going somewhere in order to do something that is forbidden to do on Shabbos, and there's no way of doing this in a mutadika way, and it is apparent from what you're doing that people understand that you're going to do such a malacha, then it will become osur. And if it's lacking one of these three conditions, then it would be would reverse to be mutter. So let's give some examples and we'll understand it better. So, a person can't go to the office on Shabbos. Obviously, we're not talking about that you're having to turn on lights or open and do the alarm system or anything like that. Well, there's no issue in Shabbos involved. A person wants to go into his office so that as soon as Shabbos is over, he can start tending to his urgent needs. That is also on Shabbos. Again, you're going somewhere to do what is forbidden to do on Shabbos. Even though on Shabbos you're not doing it, you're just sitting there and waiting till Shabbos is out. But you're going to do something which is in itself forbidden to do. There's no way, the second condition was, is there a way that you could have done this beheta? No, it's work. You can't do this beheta. And it's nikkur, you're sitting in an office. People know you're sitting in an office to work. So the person can't go to his office on Shabbos so that he'd be ready to work as soon as Shabbos is out. Another example is, don't go to a bus stop and wait at a bus stop so that you can get the first bus that comes by on Shabbos. We'll see an exception for that in a moment. But right now, generally speaking, if it's nikkur, then the person goes to the bus stop and he sits there and looks like he's waiting for the first bus. That is, again, also to do while it is still Shabbos to go and walk to the bus. Or you're thinking of buying a new apartment and you want to go to see the apartment. So even though there's nothing wrong with looking at an apartment and thinking about buying it, but the walk to the apartment and the fact that you walk, that you go into it, you look at the walls, you look at the electrical fittings, you look at the plumbing and you look around. So as there's no issue in the story that says looking is awesome. But in this particular case, we're going to say that what you're doing, you're going to do something which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos because you're going to see what type of purchase you can make. Purchasing is also on Shabbos. You're going to see what needs to be repaired before you buy it. Repairing is also on Shabbos. So again, and it's nikkur, because why else is he going there? It's noticeable from what he's doing that he's doing it for this something which would be awesome to do on Shabbos. So two, to take a walk through the marketplace to see if there is merchandise to be purchased once Shabbos is over is also awesome. You go for a walk in a place where the sole purpose of your walk is to admire the produce and then decide what you're going to buy. And it's quite clear that you're doing an assessment of what is available for purchase. That would be awesome. However, for a person to take a walk down the street, there's nothing wrong with taking a walk down the street. It's a very innocent thing to do. And not only that, when a person walks down the street, this is something, even if you're walking down a business street and there are shop windows and all the rest, people walk down business streets for non-business reasons. Therefore, it's not nicker, it's not recognizable from what you are doing that you might be doing something that's awesome. Therefore, if you want to go downtown, take a stroll through the main thoroughfare so that you can locate a store, so that after Shabbos you'll know where it is, we'll say that that type of walking is not awesome, because you could be going for a stroll downtown because you feel like going for a stroll. So too, to go window shopping is also permitted, even if your intention is to go buy something. But window shopping in and of itself is not awesome, and therefore, if someone sees you, they don't know that you're actually looking for an item. I think you've been curious. My wife told me that when they were younger, on the Friday night in the winter, when it was a long Friday night, on occasion she'd go for a walk with her father, and then walk down the famous Bahnhofstrasse in Zurich, which had these exclusive stores, and they just see, you know, what do people spend their money on? They have no interest in buying anything. No one's interested in paying 100,000 francs for a watch, but they often would have like a competition. You could see the highest priced watch or something like that. That might have a problem, we'll see in a moment, but essentially there's nothing wrong with window shopping to please your eye and enjoy yourself. Maybe it's not the best Shabbos activity, but lechayetz mutter, even if you are looking out for something to purchase. What's awesome is to then look at the prices. To look at the prices and say, oh, this shop has a cheaper, this one has a more expensive, is a problem. Also from the point of view that it is looking at what we call shitre hedyotis. One should not be looking at business papers, we'll discuss it more in length later, as what one can read on Shabbos, what is considered kosher reading material and what not. One thing that's for sure is also is business papers. They're looking at an invoice or checking out a receipt or something like that, and therefore looking at prices is a problem of shitre hedyotis. Another thing that would be permissible, even though we said before it's also, is to wait at a bus stop if you are trying to avoid getting caught in a downpour. You're walking down the street and it's raining, so you run to the nearest bus stop and shelter yourself in the shelter there. That would be mutter, even if it turns out, or even if your intention is to go catch the next bus. Because here we're going to say that since it is common for people to shelter under a bus stop when there is inclement weather, and therefore there is not, it doesn't look, doesn't, it's not 100% noticeable that what a person is up to is to catch the next bus, it looks like he's just saving himself from the weather, so then it's permissible what he's doing to save himself from the weather, even if his intention is to catch the next bus, because we said that essentially there's nothing wrong with waiting for a bus, except that it looks like that you're waiting for a bus. But when it doesn't look like you're waiting for the bus, then you're allowed to wait for the bus. Another discussion in this case, and this was kind of a lot more common in the olden days, where people went places by foot and didn't drive places like we do today, is if you need to go leave town to go somewhere, and you're restricted by the tchum. So on Shabbos, you can only walk to the end of the tchum. After that, you can't walk any further. But if you do want to go further, so how about walking to the end of the tchum already on Shabbos afternoon and waiting at the end of the tchum, and then when Shabbos goes out, you continue your walk. Are you allowed to walk to the end of the tchum on Shabbos? So we're going to say again, it has to fit into the, you have to fit into these categories in order to make it also. What are you going to do? Is there another way to do it? And is it nicker from what he's doing? If a person is going because he wants to walk, he wants to take a walk in the nearby field or forest or whatever for a good breath of fresh air, the Shabbos afternoon, you walk to the end of the tchum, three stars come out, and you walk a little further through the forest and go home again for a dollar, whatever the case may be. That would be mutter to walk to the end of the tchum. Ah, you walk to the end of the tchum and you stop and you sat down and you waited. And people see that you're waiting because they know it's tchum Shabbos and you're just waiting to go further. That's not a problem, because what you're going further for is something that's mutter to do on Shabbos. Therefore, you can wait at the end of the tchum. Or you have a field outside the tchum and you, on Friday, you picked fresh produce, but you didn't bring all of it home, and now you want to go bring the rest of it. So that you can do as well, because essentially, you could bring that produce home on Shabbos had you had you built yourself an Eruv that would allow you to carry, and had you prepared yourself an Eruv Chumah that allowed you to go that far. So it happens to be that right now there's a bit of a restriction that you didn't do it. But since you could do it, there is a possibility of doing it. Therefore, it is mutter to sit at the end of the Chumah in order to go out and do something which theoretically could be done on Shabbos. So again, when we said that the person does sit in his office so that he can write up an invoice on Moshe Shabbos, that there's no answer that, well, I could write it in a way that I can write in Shabbos. No, because there is no way to write in Shabbos. But if I'm going to the end of the Tchum to bring in some fruit that has already been picked, so the fruit is not mukta, and the only problem is that it's beyond my walking distance, my Tchum, and it is also, I don't have an Eruv and I can't carry. But had I taken care of those two problems, I could have done it now. Therefore, waiting at the end of the Tchum is permissible. Another example of this would be if a person has animals that are grazing, or animals that are out in the field rather, not grazing, and he wants to see whether they need to be fed, whether the food truck has become empty and he has to refill it. So he goes to the end of the tomb. As soon as it's night, he walks it a little bit further and checks out the field and sees, oh, the food truck is empty, tomorrow morning I'm going to bring another bale full of hay for them. So essentially that's mutter, because the reason why you can't do it now is because you didn't prepare an Eruv in order to carry it there. So therefore it was a technical problem, but halachically it's mutter if you would have prepared it. And second of all, it's got to be animals that you are it's got to be animals that you are responsible for their well-being, and therefore you're allowed to feed them on Shabbos. You can only feed animals on Shabbos that are reliant on you for their food. The animal that's not reliant on you for the food, you may not feed them. But if it's reliant on your food, you're allowed to feed them. So you're allowed to feed them on Shabbos. You could theoretically bring the hay to the barn. You didn't build an Eruv beforehand. That's a technical problem. And mainly you're allowed to go and sit at the end of a tchum. And even though it's very clear, everybody knows what you're out to do, nevertheless, it's wanted to do it. And then Moshe Shabbos go out and check it. Not only that, if there's a dual purpose, person is going to bring in some fruit that he picked on Erev Shabbos. So he's sitting at the end of the tchum in order to bring in fruit that is not mukta because they are picked already. And he could really carry them in had he built the Eruv. But also, once he's there, he'll see if any fruit has ripened over Shabbos and pick more fruit. If he went just to sit at the end of the tchum to pick fruit, then he is going to do something that you may not do on Shabbos. There's no Eitzah. You can build as many Eruvs as you want. You can't pick fruit. But he's going to do something which is mutter. He's going to bring in the fruit. So then he's allowed to sit at the end of the tchum. So even though he has a secondary purpose, which on its own would carry no merit to sit there, nevertheless, since the initial purpose is for something which is mutter, so he's allowed to. It doesn't negate his ability to sit at the end of the tchum just because he's going to do something which is also forbidden. So that is the section on where and how you can walk on Shabbos. Oh, here there was one case I see I left out a little bit more. You want to buy from a certain store on the Shabbos. So as we said, you can go for a walk downtown and find out where the store is. Fine, because it's not nicker than you for the store. Not only that, even if you want to not just find the store, but you actually want to go in and buy, that would also be mutter if it is lacking in the clarity as to what your intention is. Therefore, to walk downtown is not a problem, or to walk to the Merkaz Mishkari is not a problem. Obviously, you can't take money with you. Obviously, if you want to go shopping, you must have some way that you can do it that's not going to cause any problem with Shabbos. You have an account there, you're going to buy in credit, whatever it is, you've prepared money before Shabbos, you've left your credit card hidden there, hidden somewhere, so that the Moshe Shabbos you can get there. That's practical problems of how you're going to actually carry out the purchase. But we're discussing now, can you go down to the Merkaz Mishkari on Shabbos afternoon, so that you'll be the first one into the store that is opening up and having special Black Friday specials, and you want to get that computer that is 30% discount or whatever it is, you want to be the first one online, can you do that? So the answer is that essentially you can go to the Merkaz Mishkari because people go there on Shabbos. So the fact that you walk down to it is not nikkur in any way that you're going to do something that would be forbidden to do on Shabbos. And you can sit around on a bench that you see over there, but what you should not do is wait online. If there, I mean, I was Baruch Hashem, we live in a prim neighborhood, can't imagine the line outside the shop on a Motzei Shabbos, on a Shabbos afternoon for a Motzei Shabbos purchase, but going down to somewhere to 13th Avenue, and well, that's also in a Jewish neighborhood, probably most shops there are on Shabbos as well, but whatever, you're going down to, you're living in a place where the shops are open on Shabbos, or they're opening on Motzei Shabbos, and you join the line of the crowd of people that are snaking around the block in order to get the discount, that is nikkur that you're going in to buy something because you're standing in line. Or even if there's no line, you're standing at the door of the shop waiting for 3 stars so that you can step over the threshold and go get that special. That would be nikkur, that would be noticeable and recognizable from your actions that your reason that you've gone there is in order to go and make a purchase. Therefore, you can go to the commercial district and you can go find a nice bench to sit on, but make sure it's not the one that is right at the door to the store that you want to go into. Then we have a part of the positive that to take care of your needs. What needs are we referring to is we learn from the benefit that should not take care of business needs on Shabbos. What does it mean not to take care of business needs? Obviously, you can't do malacha, and you can't write an invoice, you can't send an email or make a phone call. But even if it is preparing for a business, but it's really what your activity now is business-related activity, that also becomes also to do on Shabbos. Therefore, you have a field, and you have produce growing, and you now go for a walk in rows and rows of produce, and you're seeing which ones need to be picked, and which ones need to be weeded, and which ones be fertilized, or whatever it is. That is your purpose of your activity now is in order to help your business or something which is, doesn't even have to be business related. It could even be you walk down your merpeset and you're looking at your pot plants. Your purpose of going outdoors was to observe your pot plants and see how to adjust your watering system so that they should be better watered or which ones need to be pruned or reboxed or whatever, repotted or whatever it is. Your purpose of going outside was to take an inventory, to take stock of what is going on outside. That would be awesome. So here it's not only the walking, so we're not, even if you're not going far, even if it's in your own home, you're going to a bedroom because you want to discuss whether this room, or you're not going to talk about it, you can look at it. And you want to see whether this room needs to be repainted or not repainted, or whether the wiring has to be redone or something like that. The purpose of your observation right now is in order to take care of an issue that cannot be done on Shabbos. It is a, what we call a business issue. Then that activity is also on Shabbos as well. What's also included in Mitzvah Hefzecha is the hiring of workers. If you need a worker or something like that on Motzei Shabbos and you want to go find them on Shabbos, that would be forbidden to do, even if it's with a non-Jew, and even if you don't, obviously don't talk about payment, because that anyway is also to talk about payment on Shabbos, as we spoke about before, about Star Shabbos, that you can't pay for Star Shabbos and talk about it. So a practical would be if you're going out for Malava Malka and you need a babysitter, so you go up to the neighboring family and tell them, you know, could, is your teenage daughter available to babysit tonight? That would be also to discuss that. Even if you didn't discuss the idea that there was remuneration that's going to be paid, and even if you didn't discuss the conditions, but just found out, will you do it? That is also to do on Shabbos. There is a way to do it. Is one may hint it. It says that a person can go to his friend and say, will you be available to come to my house this evening? Now, even though it is understood between the two of you that come to my house means I have some employment for you, I have an opportunity for you to work, and I will pay you for that work. So whether it's a, you tell your local neighbor who happens to be a plumber, and you haven't even told him that your sink is blocked, but you ask him, are you available to come to my house tonight? And he knows that the only time you ever talk to him is plumbing related, so he surely understands that you've got a blocked stink, and therefore that means he should come. So that will be mutter to tell him in those words if you just say, do you have time to come over? So you can say to the babysitter also, would you have time to come tonight? That would be permissible. But to add the words to babysit, that would be awesome. And part of Mintur Chesapha is actually doing business. One may not do business on Shabbos. I'm not even talking about opening a store and selling, which is the Xera of Shema Yom Lichtov that we don't buy and sell. But any business-related issues we avoid, and even if there is no handing over of money. So, for example, if, as is going to be with you, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and you did not take care of the Mechiras Chometz in advance, and now it is Shabbos morning, and the Zman Isur is fast approaching, and once Zman Isur has arrived, then the Chometz becomes ominous, because the Lashon of Gemara is there are two things that are ownerless, yet we are held responsible. One is a Bor B'Shus HaRabim, and the other one is Chometz Pesach. If a person were to dig a pit or somehow create a stumbling block in a public place, so although he does not take ownership of it, it belongs to the public, but he is responsible for the results that can happen. If someone falls in or falls over, you leave something lying in the street and someone trips over it, he's responsible for that, even though he doesn't own it. Another example we said that the Gemara tells us of this is Chometz and Pesach. Chometz and Pesach essentially is not mine. Why not? Because the definition of ownership is I have the right to use it, to dispose of it, to sell it, to do what I like with it. Chometz is Osa Bahana. Since it's Osa Bahana, I may not sell it, I may not use it. The only thing I may do with it is get rid of it. And therefore, it is considered as ownerless because I cannot show any form of ownership over it because it is Osa Bahana. Nevertheless, if I have such a thing in my house and I, so to speak, own it, meaning it was mine when the place I came in, so then we say that I am responsible and can be hired on the issue of having comments in my possession on Pesach, even though it is ownerless. Therefore, since it is ownerless and I have no rights, and the only thing I can do is destroy it, so the ability to sell it is also lost. So if you're going to sell comments, you have to sell comments before this man issue has arrived. Most people take care of this way before that. You go and you sign your power of attorney to give the rabbi the right to take care of the transaction, and then the rabbi will make a sale on your behalf with the goy. Usually the sale is done as late as possible, meaning as close to the Zman Isur, obviously not after the Zman Isur, because as I said, once it becomes Osa Bahana, then you can't sell it anymore. You're no longer considered the owner who has the right to sell it. So it has to be done before that, but they do it as late as possible, so anything that you still find can be included in the sale as it be. And so now, you forgot to take care of your Mechiras Chometz, and it is Shabbos morning, and Zman Isur is fast approaching, and you've got quite a fair amount of Chometz still in the house, and it costs a lot of money, and you're not interested in flushing it down the toilet or throwing it into the dumpster, and even that's not posh that it answers all your problems, because could be you still are responsible for contents of the dumpster, because the dumpster is in your private property. As an aside, it depends on where the garbages are located, but until recently, most buildings here in Beit Shemesh had a private part of their public area, meaning a designated area of the common area of the building was designated for garbages. The garbage containers were kept over there, and essentially, that is private property. It belongs to the responsibility of that area where the bins are kept belongs to the common property of the building, and you have an equal share in it as a neighbor in the building. And therefore, throwing your garbage, throwing comments into a garbage, you have not taken care of the need of being masculine, of getting it out of your reshus, of taking it out of your ownership. And therefore, there are some rabbanim who recommend that if you have such a situation and you're afraid that you're going to be throwing out comments up and after the last collection by the area, so you should announce in front of three men that you are mafkir your chelek in the garbage area, and therefore you're no longer are your is it your property in order to keep it under your jurisdiction. I say until recently, because now they've changed some of the systems here in some of the areas, and they've put in underground bins, and some of those underground bins are now put into the street, into public space, and then you have now ownership space. So outside the Groschel, for example, they've put the dumpsters in Luz, and on Afriv, they've put the dumpsters in public space, and no longer in private space. So the Chorea, once you throw your garbage out there, is considered ownerless and responsible for it. So if you're stuck on Erev Yom Tov, and the last garbage collection has really taken place, or as it's going to be this coming Pesach, where the last day is Shabbos, so you can actually, and so there's not going to be any garbage collections, what you throw in the garbage in such a dumpster would be considered as disposing of it, is no longer in your jurisdiction. But if a person doesn't want to do that, he's got a lot of hummus, he's got some whiskey, whatever it is, and he doesn't want to pour it down the toilet, and down the drain, and he doesn't want to throw it in the dumpster, but he does want to send it to a goy, and he has to know of a nice, friendly, available goy nearby who he can make a contract with and make a deal and say, please buy my chometz of me. Even if you don't discuss monetary matters and you don't discuss what you would pay for it and how much they would pay, etc. Nevertheless, this is business, and even for the sake of a mitzvah, it will be osur, and therefore don't count on this. If a person has left a chometz in Erev Pesach, didn't do a mechiras chometz for the rov, you cannot take care of it on a Shabbos. In such a case, you would have to dispose of it completely. Nevertheless, with all these restrictions, there are certain things that Chazal allowed, and that is that a person can go to a local store and help himself to goods without saying too much, and come and pay his debt on Motzei Shabbos. Now, obviously, we're not talking about where we're encouraging shoplifting, and if the owner doesn't trust you and he's not going to let you go home unless you pay, that doesn't help. Therefore, the Lashon of Chazal is you go to a shopkeeper who you are friendly with, who knows you, who trusts you, and you ask him if you can take home some goods, and you mention to him, don't worry, I'll be back Motzei Shabbos. You don't say, I'm coming to pay Motzei Shabbos, but you say, I'll be back Motzei Shabbos, and he understands. What you mean by that is that you will then come and settle an account with him. So it is mutter to take what one needs for Shabbos in such a manner. If a person would need something and there is a local shopkeeper, you can go to the local shopkeeper and say, listen, I'm short of this dish for Shabbos, and I know you have whatever, gefilte fish, and you have a jar of gefilte fish on the shelf in your store. Do you mind just opening up and let me take a jar of gefilte fish, and I'll talk to you about the Shabbos. Essentially, that's mutter. I mean, today it's not going to be very practical, because opening up a store on Shabbos is going to involve who knows problems of getting the key there. You've got to have an opening the door and turning on the lights, or not turning on the lights, or disabling the alarm system, and whatever it is. It doesn't seem to be too practical, but if it would be possible, it would be mutter to do such a thing, to go to a shopkeeper, and it doesn't have to be a Jewish shopkeeper, a kosher shopkeeper, and tell him, listen, I'd like to help myself to A, B, and C that I need for my meal this morning, and don't worry, I'll be back to take care of it, and he trusts you, then one may do such a thing. However, when one does such a thing, one has to be very careful how one talks to the owner as to how he wanted to supply the goods. All good and fine to say a jar of the filter fish, because they come in jars and it's fine, you haven't spoken about anything. But some things we buy on in open packaging, and you say, give me a kilo of sugar, a kilo of oats, something like this, or sometimes we will talk about, give me 10 shekels. So one has to be careful how one says it, that one doesn't use a name of a currency or a name of a measure. You don't say a kilo's worth, the transaction is made, and you don't say, give me a dollar's worth, give me a shekel's worth, or something like that, because that talks about, again, that is already using the terminology that is business related, which would be also Shabbos. And obviously you can't say, and now I owe you so and so much, or yesterday I took one, now I take another one, so now I owe you two of them, or something like that, to then sum up and make a summary of what you owe him, whether it's a summary in item number or kilo or measurement number, or even a, or much even, but much worse, even a, in a monetary value will obviously be offset. So these things are what a person, if you're going to have this opportunity of going to a store where the owner lets you take something home and come back later, and you want to discuss it with them, you have to be very careful how you say it. You don't talk about the measurements and the weight, the monetary value, and even telling him that you're going to pay. You don't tell him, you're just telling you're going to come back on Motor Shabbos. Stop here for today. There are more details on this which we'll get to next week, and we'll continue. So we'll hold it for today and wish everybody a fantastic week.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, have a great day.